It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I'm Chris.
Hey, Chris Ronji.
And now your host, Chris Ronji.
It is not Chris Ronji.
Good job there, Chris. Enjoy the day.
I'm not Chris Ronji.
Don't call Les.
Stop yelling at me, all right?
Ranger, love your show, but please, quit.
No, shut up.
Z, shut up for 1 second and listen to me.
I don't really care about the rest of this update.
It's Chris Ronji on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
It's sphincter clenching time.
Ah, I feel good.
I don't recall ever saying that. Sphincter clenching time. Well, I own it now. Good evening, friends. My name is Chris. My last name is Ronji. R-O-N-G-E-Y. Sometimes I need to spell it out myself so I can remember. Hope you are doing well tonight. Well, guess what? You get a big dose of me. For the next 3 hours, it is you, it is me, it is 670 The Score. And a phone number that you can call and text, and they're already coming in, the text messages are 312-644-6767. It is good to be with you tonight, and I hope you are doing very, very well. On the show tonight, we will talk about the Bears, of course, because training camp begins. That first practice that everybody can go to will be on Saturday, but things are really getting going tomorrow. And when it comes to Bears football, there is nobody in the world that I want to talk to more, other than maybe Caleb Williams, than Mark Grody. Mark Grody, who covers the Bears for 670 The Score, is going to join us tonight. That'll be in the 7 o'clock hour. Also, we'll do some Cubs. And in the next segment, a little after 6:20, we will talk to Sahadev Sharma with The Athletic, who covers the Cubs. And the reason we're going to talk to him is, well, the baseball season starts back up tomorrow. We are in the midst of the All-Star break. That is winding down. It's will come to an end tonight, and the Cubs tomorrow afternoon will have the Diamondbacks in town. And with that, we are, well, heck, it was Tuesday when we were 2 weeks away from the trade deadline. So that means we are less than 2 weeks away from the trade deadline. There's some math for you. So we will talk about what the Cubs may or may not do, if there is anything that's likely for them, considering, oh, I don't know, just about every single team in the National League is still in it, with the exception of three teams. Well, I mean, I guess you could say the Nationals are still kind of mathematically. I mean, they are mathematically there. Everybody's mathematically there. But the Nats are six games back of a wild card right now. So that's still, you know, it's doable. I don't think they can. But it's the Nationals, Rockies, and Marlins. And that's it in the National League as far as teams that are out of it. Teams that might be willing to trade from their rosters. In the American League, it's really the White Sox, A's, Angels, maybe Blue Jays. So the talent pool to pick from for anybody in baseball, not very big. So what will the Cubs do? Sahadev Sharma joins us after 6:20. We are going to talk to Alex Cohen, who is the play-by-play voice for the Iowa Cubs, but he's filling in for Boog tomorrow on the TV broadcast. So he's going to join us at 8 o'clock, and we'll get back to football at about 8:40. Eric Edholm from NFL.com will give us his thoughts on what the Bears are, what he believes them to be, and from an outside perspective, how he sees the team in 2024. So that's where we are right now, kids. It is Bears football time, and I'm thinking about it the way I think about the playoffs, and let me know if I'm off on this. I almost feel like when it's playoff time for any sport, and for whatever reason, when I really think about playoffs, I kind of default to baseball first. I don't know why. Maybe it's just because it was my first love as a sport. But the thing that I always loved the most when it was baseball playoff time, really any playoff time, is the lead up to it, the anticipation of it. it's almost like, you know, I'm one of the people who celebrates Christmas. I love Christmas. Do you know what the best part of Christmas is for me? It's not Christmas Day. It's the weeks leading up to Christmas, the anticipation of it. It's the anticipation of the playoffs for me. And that's kind of how, right now, my Bears fandom feels. That at this very moment, you really kind of have to reach to feel lousy about anything regarding the team. I mean, there are question marks. We don't know what the center position, how good it's really going to be. We don't know how well the young secondary is going to perform. We don't even really know if the head coach is the right head coach for this job. And maybe that's the one big question mark, other than how good is Caleb Williams really? And we don't know that until the season starts. But right now, it's this anticipation of the possibility that everything could just be awesome. And there's nothing yet that is, there's no evidence yet that it's not going to be awesome. So it's the lead up to the beginning of the season. It is the lead up to the beginning of training camp. Nobody's injured yet. Nothing stupid has happened during camp. All the important people have signed their deals. Caleb Williams finalizing his contract yesterday. I'm sure some people were a little concerned it wasn't going to get done in time. There are, you know, Roma Dunze got his done the day before, technically. It's everything is right at the moment. Everything feels as good as it maybe can possibly feel, aside from winning an actual championship, aside from winning a Super Bowl. But right now, everything's golden. It's this anticipation, and nothing bad has happened yet. And that's where I am right now. That's why I absolutely love this day. I love tomorrow. The beginning of practice is it's great. This is a... People are using the word hopium a lot, especially as it pertains to the Bears, because right now, I mean, hell, sky's the limit with that team, right? Everything is looking great. And all we're doing right now is just looking ahead to that. I'm going to argue that at the moment, unless they actually, you know, start winning games early in the year, you know, maybe we get through 5-6 games, they're 4-2 or something. Other than maybe that happening, or the first time we see Caleb do something special on the field, or look like a real legitimate quarterback, and I'm going to guess that's going to happen. Until then, this is as good as it gets, man. Just the anticipation of it. I love this. I mean, of course, I want them to get at it. We've seen them, you know, you had the OTAs, you had the rookie mini camp, you had all that stuff, right? And you see Caleb throw a couple of balls, and it's sexy because you see him in a Bears uniform, but it's not a full uni. He's got his practice gear on, but it's still sexy to see that. And that's great and everything, but it won't be anything compared to actually putting on pads and a uniform and playing in a game. But right now, this is awesome. Nothing is bad. And you know how we are. You know how Chicago sports fans are. If anything can go wrong, the assumption is it's going to happen. But I don't really get that from Bears fans right now. It is all puppy dogs and ice cream at the moment. And I think this is great. I love it. I'm conflicted. Of course I want the season to begin. Of course I want practice to get going. Of course I want to see what we're dealing with, but I kind of like it right now. Is that stupid? You can let me know. 312-644-6767. I'd love to hear from you. You can text me at that number too. So let me know. And a couple of questions as it pertains to the Bears, and you can text these in, you can call in, whatever. Hey, I just want to talk to you. You know what I mean? I love interacting with you. I need to know from you what you will consider to be a successful Bears season, because I think people have this idea that if they don't make the playoffs this year, it is a failure. And I'm going to go back to my Justin Fields doctrine from a couple of years ago. I may have unfairly, during the Bears season, said, hey, this Caleb Williams guy, if the Bears are going to move on from Justin, this Caleb guy better jump right in and be successful right away, and they better be a playoff team immediately. I may have said that unfairly, and the more I think about it, I think that's kind of silly. And I think the reality is, I want to see a quarterback in year one look like there's room for improvement, of course, but look legitimate. That's all I need. I don't think the Bears have to be a playoff team this year. I don't think they have to win 10 games. I think they need to be over 500. That's kind of what I'm feeling. But more than anything else, it's going to be about just how it looks to me. I mean, maybe they could finish a game under 500, and okay, that would be lousy. I would have expected more, but does Caleb look right? Does it look like the team is trending in the right direction? I'm going to settle for that, I think. Now, of course, that could all be out the window as soon as the season starts and I get greedy and I want to see wins and they don't win and then I get pissed. That could happen. But because I reserve the right to change my mind, I reserve the right to be a lunatic. And I don't care what you say. Let me be crazy if I want to. Cubs will play at Wrigley Field tomorrow. It is an afternoon game, 1:20. So, of course, the pregame show gets started 12:45 right here on 670 The Score. They've got the Diamondbacks in town. They are last place in the National League Central. They're 8.5 out. I'm not thinking so much about the Central Division, but this is what's weird about the league, and I mentioned this earlier. They're 3.5 games out of a wild card. There are the three wild cards right now, and then there are five teams between the Cubs and that third wild card spot. And all of them are separated by 3.5 games. So, hell, that could all change in the course of 5 days. In 5 days, they could be a game and a half out. So this is still potentially a playoff team, and I see a lot of movement probably happening between now and the end of the season. But movement in terms of the roster, what about that? Will the Cubs make any sort of significant deal before the deadline? Here's what you have to keep in mind. Braves, Cardinals, Mets, Arizona, Padres, Pirates, Giants, Reds. All of those teams are within three games. And we're just talking about the National League here. All of those teams would be looking for upgrades of some kind. That means the Cubs are competing with all of those teams for upgrades, not to mention the teams in the American League. And there are, let's see, at least 7 or 8 over there, maybe 9 teams that might be looking for upgrades too. And the talent pool of upgrades available, and those are coming from teams that aren't any good and are out of it this year, that pool's very, very shallow because there are very few teams that are totally out of it. So, what do the Cubs do? Anything? What do you want to see them do? Let me know. 312-644-6767. The White Sox are on the opposite end. They're going to deal. They're going to trade. Garrett Crochet appears to be the most attractive piece. According to Jeff Passan, the Padres, Dodgers, Orioles all have interest in Garrett Crochet, but he's not the only one. So, here's the deal. They'll play in Kansas City tomorrow night. I'm assuming that they trade guys away. And if you're a Sox fan and you just feel destitute and you want to vent, you know, feel free. You know where to get me. I'm here. 312-644-6767. If you're on hold, I will get to you if you want to stick around for just a little bit. But we're going to talk to Sahadev Sharma, who covers the Cubs for The Athletic. He will join us next. I'm Chris Ranji. This is 670 The Score.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, Keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Here's the 0-1 to Contreras. Dribbler right side. This should do it. Horner will throw to first. Cubs win. The Cubs win the ball game by a score of 8-3 as they have beaten the Cardinals here in St. Louis.
It's Chris Ronji on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
Hey, friends, until 9 o'clock tonight, it is you and me, and we will get to your phone calls and to your text messages, I promise. I wouldn't tell you if I didn't mean it. But we want to go out to the guest line today, brought to you by Circa Sports Illinois, and we want to talk some Cubs with you. And to do that, we have with us Sahadev Sharma, who is the Cubs beat writer at The Athletic and co-host of a new Cubs podcast, Northside Territory. You can find it on all the podcasting platforms. We've got Sahadev Sharma with us on 670 The Score. Sahadev, what in the world is going on with you?
Oh, you know, life covering the Cubs is never boring, and that's the main focus right now, right? The madness that is the Cubs. I thought we were headed for a sell-off. Not sure what there would have been to sell, but, you know, one good week in the NL especially can change a lot of things.
Yeah, let me get to the team in a moment. Just the team itself and trade deadline. I guess nobody really knows what they'll end up doing. But the story we got this afternoon about the interpreter for Seiya Suzuki, Toi Matsushita, who has been let go, it sounds like it's not that big of a deal, that maybe they just like the way Shota's interpreter was working with him, and that's kind of who's going to take over. And it'll be a two-man sort of show with Edwin Stanberry and now Masamoto, who are gonna help out in that regard. Is there anything, you know, behind this other than they just think that these other guys will work better with Suzuki?
Yeah, I think it's as simple as that. I wouldn't read too much into it. You know, a lot of times you have your own interpreter. You come here with your guy. They may not be the best at their job. They may be doing other things other than interpreting primarily. It's, you know, Edwin's been amazing to work with. Now he's been with the organization for a long time. I think in the end, this will be best for Seiya and the organization. It's a better setup.
Yeah, the first time, you know, you hear that happen after what happened with Shohei Ohtani and his interpreter,
right.
The first thing you think is, oh, God, we're gambling here, too? So it's nothing like that. It's not anything nefarious or sinister. It's just they think that these other guys will help out better.
Yes, they made a point to make sure to let people know there's nothing nefarious going on here. Don't read too much into this. It's just the organization, you know, the typical organization going in a different direction.
All right, Sahadev, so let's talk about it. The team, good start in April, then things sort of fell apart for a while, and it looked like, okay, well, that's the end of that. This season is not going to work out, and here we are. They are, even though a bunch of teams are within striking distance of a playoff spot, the Cubs are 3.5 out. This seems like a particularly difficult year to upgrade. So what do you think they'll do?
Yeah, it's going to be hard to figure that out. I'd like to see 1 week of play. I don't think either way they have a lot to sell, right? So I think they can kind of do this. Whether they're buying or selling, you know, whether they're in contention or not, they can kind of do similar things, because in the end, I don't think they get to a point where they're all in just for 2024. And I don't think they get to a point where it's like, well, we're out of it. We're selling a lot of pieces, because it doesn't make a lot of sense to sell a lot of pieces. This front office needs to win in 2025, and they're set up to win in 2025, the way the farm system is and the talent that they have on the roster. So I could see some shifting of pieces, especially in the bullpen. There are some veterans that you could move out and bring in. And Porter Hodge has already earned a bigger role. Hunter Biggie could earn a bigger role. He's going to – I know he got sent down on Sunday, but he's going to be up and down all season long. That's kind of how baseball works with relievers with options now. He's going to be back with this team at some point, and if he establishes himself, kind of like Hodge has, he could stick around for a long time. So I don't see any big moves, especially with Cody Bellinger's injury. Maybe Bellinger comes back quickly, and then you can start talking about different types of moves. I'm not sure how easy it is to move him because of that weird contract, in the sense that if he's opting in, that means he's had a bad season, right? So teams don't want him to opt in because they're getting 2.5 bad months of Cody Bellinger. So it's going to be interesting to see how this kind of plays out, how they play, and what they can do. I think the most interesting thing would be, can they be aggressive in a way that helps them now and in 2025? The obvious answer to that would be Vlad Jr., right? I'm not sure if that's what the direction they'll go, but this front office was creative in getting Michael Busch, right? If there are opportunities like that, maybe there's something out there where they can upgrade this season and be upgrading for 2025, because they are not willing to take a step back for 2025.
Sahadev Sharma covers the Cubs for The Athletic and is with us on 670 The Score. So I'm wondering that in a typical year, if a baseball year you can consider to be normal, what would happen is most of the teams who are in contention would probably make some kind of move, upgrade, bullpen piece, whatever it is. But because there are so few teams right now that are out of it, do you think that generally speaking, when it comes to, and I guess we could focus on National League teams here if you want, does it seem like maybe a lot of these teams just end up going with what they have instead of making a deal before the deadline?
There could be, that could happen, yes. They could just have, like, there's the super aggressive teams like San Diego's, AJ Preller, he's always aggressive, and maybe they end up being super aggressive and getting, overpaying, quote unquote, for a big piece. But yeah, I could see teams sitting still. I could see teams making smaller moves. Remember, Craig Counsell comes from a team that used to make small moves, all seemingly small moves, and then they were able to maximize those talents. Milwaukee does it repeatedly at the deadline, where they move a player and they add someone that you're like, okay, that doesn't matter. Like Drew Pomeranz is a name that pops into my head. There's been a lot of random starting pitchers that they've added at the deadline that suddenly helped for half a season. So I wouldn't be shocked if there are moves that are made that they feel, okay, we can maximize this talent and get a little bit more out of this guy. And we barely pay attention to the move, and it turns out to be really valuable.
Yeah. What are the Brewers like? Are they the new Cardinals now? What is it with the Brewers? It just feels like every year you go into the season and you think, all right, well, that's it. They're just not going to be good. But then they win the division. They're in the playoffs. And then they win in the wild card, or they're in the wild card, and then they win the division again. It's like, all right, what is it with the Brewers that every year you think they're finished, but then they're not finished?
Ranji, I'm guilty of it every single year, just like what you just said. I do it every year, and I said, I don't like this team. I don't think they're going to be that good. I think I've been right once in the past 6 years. It's like this year, I think, is the year that's convinced me, okay, stop doubting this team. This is a strong organization that knows how to do things and get the most out of their talent, knows how to identify talent, knows how to identify undervalued talent and how to maximize what they have. Like, I don't know if Aaron Civale is going to be a stud going forward, but I think he had a really good start, his first start with Milwaukee, and they changed some things almost immediately. That reminds me of teams like Cleveland and Tampa Bay. You compare them to St. Louis, I'd compare them more to those teams where they don't have the money, or they're not spending the money like a big market team. But they continually, they don't always look like the best team on paper, and then suddenly they're winning, and they're winning their division, and they're in the playoffs. That happens repeatedly in Cleveland. It happens all the time in Tampa. And it's starting to happen all the time in Milwaukee. I think you just have to give credit to the organization as a whole. They lose David Stearns. They lose Craig Council. They lose Corbin Burns. Brandon Woodruff is out for pretty much all season. Devin Williams hasn't pitched yet. They're still first place in the division. That says something about the entire organization. They're able to pro scouting, player development, just the people at the top like Matt Arnold. Just a really well-run organization, and the Cubs should be outperforming them. They should be able. They want to build the same type of front office that can produce talent and identify undervalued talent. But they also should, and they do have the biggest payroll in the Central, and they should be throwing their weight around financially, and they should be beating these teams. I'm not saying that they can't or they won't in the future. I just think it's go time for the Cubs, right? Like they need to be able to perform year after year. There's no reason not to.
Yeah. So what is the deal with that? Because they have been, they're very conscious of that luxury threshold. They don't want to go over it. Is there going to be a time where they just acknowledge they don't have a choice if they really want to hang with, Philadelphia and with Los Angeles?
So ultimately, I've pushed Ricketts on this. Other reporters have too. He's never going to be that repeated, constantly going over, right? Jed Hoyer has his budget. He has the money that he's allowed to spend, and he has to decide how to spend it, right? Some years, they're not going to be over. They will go over. They will at some point. Absolutely. Will it be this year? Probably not, just because of how this first half has gone. But it wasn't ruled out. A lot of people just assumed it was ruled out at the beginning of the season. That was not the case. We wrote this over and over again. They would have been willing to go over if they were clearly in the race and they could add talent that would have put them over the luxury tax. They're willing to go over that first threshold. It's about going over it year after year after year. I think they may do it for 2 years, but they're going to try and be nimble and get back down under. It's just the way like certain things work with the penalties where you lose draft picks and international free agent money, stuff like that. They don't want to be in that situation. And yeah, Tom Ricketts doesn't want to spend $300 million like Steve Cohen.
We're talking to Sahadev Sharma, covers the Cubs for The Athletic, and he's talking with us on 670 The Score. Okay, so we're well past the technical halfway point of the season, but we are now officially about to start the second half of the season, post All-Star break. What do you see happening? Forget about trades. Forget about what they may or may not do. How do you see this team playing? Do you even feel like you have an idea of what they will be?
I'm glad you ended it with that, because I was going to say, how dare you try and make me predict what this team is going to do?
No softballs here, Sahadev. We're doing real hard-hitting journalism.
For 2 months, I was convinced the offense will turn, and finally I said, okay, I'm sick of sticking with what I thought was going to happen at the beginning of the season. Clearly something's wrong here. They're not turning, and then they turn. And they had a good 10 days. I did not expect them to sweep Baltimore. They looked like a different team. There was that flash on Saturday where it all seemed to come back to earth. I do think that they have it in them to go on a little run here. I am not convinced on the offense. That 2 month run put enough doubt in me that I just don't know what it's going to do. I cannot trust the group yet. I will say this. I have a feeling Christopher Morel will finally get the results that he probably deserved in the first month and a half, first 2 months or so. The last month plus hasn't been as consistent, but the bats are better. They're just better than they were last year. Look at the walks, look at the strikeouts, look at the chase rate. All of that stuff is better, and he hits the ball hard, and it just wasn't falling. I think he's going to be a big part of this offense. If the rest of these guys that are hitting like Bush and Happ and Saya continue to, they get Mike Talkman back. And I know people are like, Mike Talkman, big deal. Go look at his numbers. They're better than Cody Bellinger's this year. And not as a little less power, but they're very similar players this season. So like Mike Toffman's a nice addition to this lineup. Should be back on Friday unless there was something that changed over the All-Star break. I think they have a run in them. I think ultimately they dug themselves too much of a hole just like last year, so I don't fully trust they'll make the playoffs. But just like what I keep coming back to is like the NL is so mediocre. They're 3.5 games out of a playoff spot, 4 games I believe out of the second wild card spot. And give me a break. Like this is we should not like it, a good week and you're back in this. Like not only back in this, like maybe in the driver's seat. Like it's so ridiculous how it is to like, we can't write them off. I know fans are frustrated and it's very easy to be frustrated. Believe me, I've watched every game. I get the frustration, but you can't write this team off. There is talent here. And with the starting pitching they have, they can win. They can make some noise. It's a really good starting staff. They have two studs at the top. Justin Steele has convinced me. I always need to see more than one great year, right, to really believe it. Okay, I'm on board. I believe it. You've convinced me, Justin Steele. You're an ace. He just is so impressive, and he goes out there with such confidence, and it's the type of, he instills that confidence in others around him, right? Like he's having the type of year now where he's on this type of run where you're like, okay, it's what was it? David Ross, was it Joe Maddon that used to call it Win Day when mm-hmm. when your ace was on the mound? That's kind of what it feels like with Justin Steele right now. It's Win Day, and the bullpen has actually been better since about June 1st. So you know, like a top 10 bullpen ERA wise in baseball. So the pieces are there. It can happen. I just don't feel comfortable predicting that it will, because it's just been so up and down.
Justin Steele will pitch tomorrow afternoon, 1:20 game. The Cubs are hosting the Diamondbacks. That is a team that is also in the playoff hunt. They are a game out of they're the first team out right now of the postseason, behind the Mets at the moment. So, yeah, I mean, I'm looking, you know, before we say goodbye here, Sahadev, I'm looking at the National League, and really, in terms of the wild card, it is only the Braves that is firmly in a playoff spot. I would be stunned if they don't make the playoffs this year. They're better than the start they had. So the Braves are a wild card right now, but then everybody else, Cardinals, Mets, AZ, Padres, Pirates, Giants, Reds, Cubs, they're all just like right there. It's insane how close things are this deep into the season.
Yeah, and you look at those teams, I mean, who's really that scary? They all have their warts.
None of them.
Like the Cubs. Yeah, so, I mean, they're all, it's not like it's like, oh, that team's just underachieving and clearly better than all these other teams. I don't really see that. Maybe you could say that about San Diego, and like I said, they'll add, in all likelihood, I'd be surprised if A.J. Preller isn't super aggressive. It's just who he is and his nature. But other than that, like it's very easy to make a case for any of these teams to make a run.
Sahadev Sharma covers the Cubs for The Athletic and also the new Cubs podcast called Northside Territory. You can catch that on all the platforms where you can get podcasts. I'm assuming it's on the Odyssey app as well, AUDACY. If it's not, go find it somewhere else. Sahadev Sharma, thank you, my man. Good to talk to you again.
Nice talking to you too, Ranji. Appreciate you having me on. Take care.
That is Sahadev Sharma. He is my guy with us on the Score Hotline, brought to you by Circa Sports Illinois. Yep, so this baseball season is nuts. This National League right now is crazy. He mentioned Christopher Morel, and the first thing I thought of was what happened over the weekend with the Cubs and the Cardinals and Jim Edmonds on the TV broadcast giving it to Morel a bit about his home run celebration. What in the world are we doing? It just felt like I know you guys have probably already gone over it and discussed it. I haven't had a chance to, but we're still doing this. We're still doing this ancient baseball rules of the game, unwritten rules, respect the game, act like you've been there before stuff. We're still doing that. It's 2024, man. We have artificial intelligence now, and we're still doing all of that. absolutely nuts. Hey, remember how I told you that I wanted to hear from you and I gave you a phone number to call? That line is still active and it's open and there are some folks on hold. I'm going to get to you. 312-644-6767. What will you consider to be a successful Bears season as they get ready to really get started with practice at training camp? It's happening this weekend. So the Bears season, it's coming, baby. What will you consider to be successful? Chris Ronji filling in tonight on 670 The Score.
So the Cubs exacting some revenge, and they're going to have back-to-back homers again. Morel hits one deep into the seats. He's got a two-homer game.
This kid's celebration is a joke. I don't mind saying it at all. I've never seen anything like it. I just don't get it. You're a 229 hitter in the big leagues, and you're running around like you're Barry Bonds. These celebrations, and I get the one hand clap or the fist pump or whatever, but one between first and second, one between second and third, and one between third and home is a little much.
All right. That is former Cub and Cardinal, current Cardinals broadcaster Jim Edmonds with former Cubs broadcaster and current Cardinals broadcaster Chip Carey. But Edmonds, and I know you've heard this already, but that was after last weekend with the Morel home run. I mean, bro, come on. Come on, man. It wasn't even that outrageous of a celebration. It was just kind of a bat flip, look back at his own dugout. Big deal. Let's everybody calm down around here. What are we doing? Are we still doing this stuff? That was as old man of a broadcaster moment as I have heard in a while. I was actually kind of surprised that it came out of his mouth. And Edmonds, by the way, when he wants to be, he can be a very good, insightful analyst. I've heard it. But, dude, that was not good. Embarrassing. Didn't like that. I'm Chris Ronji. Hello. With you until 9 o'clock tonight. We still are going to talk some football with Eric Edholm. He'll come up later in the show after we are done with this hour at 7 o'clock. Mark Grody to talk some Bears with us. And the guy who's calling Cubs baseball tomorrow on the Marquee Network for Boog, he's filling in. Alex Cohen, who is the play-by-play voice for the Iowa Cubs, will join the show in the 8 o'clock hour. So the number is 312-644-6767. Juan in Chicago is with us on The Score. Hello, Juan.
Hey, what's going on, guys? How are you?
Doing great. All of us.
Good, good. I think, to be realistic, the Lions are still good. The Packers almost beat the 49ers in the playoffs. So, to be realistic, I'm happy with a wild card or even fighting for a wild card chance.
So, for the Bears, you're saying if they don't necessarily have to be a playoff team. You just want them to be in the conversation at the end.
Just in the hunt. I want to see them in the hunt towards the end of the year.
Okay. Now, from people that you talk to, you've got friends who are Bears fans. Do they kind of feel the way you do, or do you feel like you're alone in that?
I think just with how the last couple of years have gone, I think everybody's still nervous. Everybody somehow thinks the shoe might fall off. Something horrible is going to go wrong. The way I see it, you have a number one pick. He's going to get treated like the number one pick. He might get a couple, you know, tough hits. The kid's got to play, essentially. There's really no other way to put it.
Juan, appreciate the phone call. You know, I think that is absolutely fair to look at it that way. That they don't really have to be a playoff team. Just kind of be there, you know? Look like a team that next season people will say, I don't want to play them. Maybe that's the realistic goal for the Bears, who ended up being 7-10 last year. And honestly, look, they had a couple of games where they lost with the stupidest of small, tiny details. And, of course, the tiny detail matters. But plays that weren't made at the very end, that team very easily could have been 9-7 or 9-8. You know, that very easily could have happened last year. That wouldn't have been outrageous if that happened. And, okay, so if you put it up against that, if you say, all right, the Bears last year very, very easily could have been 9-8. Well, why can't this team be one game better than that? In fact, they probably should be better than that. I've heard some people say things along those lines. I don't know that I necessarily agree with that. I think it's okay in year one to look like a real legitimate team that by next year, wow, look out, you don't want to play them. But I don't think it necessarily has to be that this year. I say that now, but then wait till the regular season starts and they put up a couple of wins early and they're over 500, you know, 6-7 games into the season. And then we'll be saying, okay, there's no excuse for not being a playoff team this year. And I'll tell you what, I reserve the right to change my mind on this, and I probably will. Let's visit with John on the Score. Good evening, John.
Hi, Mr. Anji. I want to see the Bears get better this year. You know, get Caleb Williams some action and get cohesiveness with his wide receivers and everything. But I'm really looking forward to next year. And the reason I'm looking forward to next year is because I want them to take, I've said this for the last 5 years probably, but I want them to take the first pick in the draft and either get a defensive tackle or defensive tech three.
Yeah.
Technique center person. And then the second pick, I want one mean center so that Caleb's hands can be under his butt for the next 10 years.
Okay,
and
John.
That's what I want.
Yeah,
I want a mean one. Like all
I hear you, dude. Here's the thing. If the Caleb Williams thing works out and he's just and he's even, you know, at minimum, he's competent early on, you feel like the most important position on the field, you don't have to worry about that when the next draft rolls around, and you can refocus your energy on the positions you're talking about, because that will be a thing to watch this season. It's going to be, is the Bears defensive front enough and doing enough and putting enough pressure on the opposing quarterback that we don't have to run our secondary dry and kill them every day? And that is going to be very important. So if they don't have a strong defensive front, they're going to be looking in the draft next year. That will be a priority for them, depending on where they draft. But it would be nice to go into every draft knowing, well, quarterback solved, don't have to worry about that. So let's just take care of everything else. Good thought, John. Appreciate it.
Why do you have to share the part about the hand in the
butt? I don't know. I was going to keep going. But I also couldn't stop thinking about that.
No, that's all. You were talking, but all I thought about was the hand.
His butt. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, that's just where he's comfortable, and that's okay.
I'm fine with it. Yeah.
Yeah. It wouldn't have been the first thing I thought.
Yeah.
Of.
Maybe blocking. Blocking is probably the thing.
Blocking.
It's most important to me.
Blocking. But you do want to be comfortable with the guy whose hands you put on.
No, it's a plus to be comfortable. It's definitely a plus. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. It's just not the
correct
first place I would go to.
That's correct. Scott in Arlington Heights, before we hit the break, is with us on the Score. What's up, Scott?
Hey, Ronji. Good to be on with you. Listen, I have 2 points. One of my points is going to be very unpopular, but the first point I want to make is about the Cubs. I think that Council... I don't think, I know, and you can ask Alex Cohen when he comes on. I think that PCA needs to be in the leadoff spot. He is a bona fide leadoff hitter and has a much better opportunity to be an igniter for the Cubs than Nico Hoerner. And I know that Horner's played well in the last couple of weeks, but I think that that's one thing. My other point is back to Nico Hoerner. You know, from the second base, this is unpopular. I know he's a gold glover. he gives you very little slug. And there's no consideration to put anyone else at second base from Council. What's his name at third base? I don't know why it's slipping my mind, but
Morrell?
Edmund was talking about Morrell. Yeah. Morrell, all he does is play third base. It's not even a consideration to put him anywhere else like last year. And I know he's only batting 200, but I think you have to look at Horner. There's very little slug. If you compare him to other second basemen, Bryce Turang from Milwaukee, he is a much better all-around second baseman and a really good leadoff hitter for the Brewers. And
yeah.
What do you think about PCA in the leadoff spot?
Well, here's the thing, and I know you had more to get to, but we have to hit the break here so we can get to Mark Grody. But I think it's a bad idea right now. He doesn't get on base. You can't have a guy with an on-base percentage of 250 being your leadoff guy just because he's fast. That might be old school thinking, and that's the way it would have been. Oh, here's the fast guy, put him in the leadoff spot, but it doesn't really work now. I mean, he's barely hitting 200 and he doesn't get on base nearly enough. Horner, when he leads off, his OBP is not great, but it's better. It's better than PCA. So that's the guy you're going to go with, I think. I don't think they have currently really great options for the leadoff spot. Horner is probably your best bet right now. Appreciate the phone call. Let's talk some Bears. We continue the Bears discussion as we get ready for actual Bears training camp. Oh my God, it's happening. Mark Grody is next. Chris Ranji with you on The Score.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
So the Cubs exacting some revenge, and they're going to have back-to-back homers again. Morrell hits one deep into the seats. He's got a two-homer game.
This kid's celebration is a joke. I don't mind saying it at all. I've never seen anything like it. I just don't get it. You're a 229 hitter in the big leagues, and you're running around like you're Barry Bonds. These celebrations, and I get the one hand clap or the fist pump or whatever, but one between first and second, one between second and third, and one between third and home is a little much.
All right. That is former Cub and Cardinal, current Cardinals broadcaster Jim Edmonds with former Cubs broadcaster and current Cardinals broadcaster Chip Carey. But Edmonds, and I know you've heard this already, but that was after last weekend with the Morrell home run. I mean, bro, come on. Come on, man. It wasn't even that outrageous of a celebration. It was just kind of a bat flip, look back at his own dugout. Big deal. Let's everybody calm down around here. What are we doing? Are we still doing this stuff? That was as old man of a broadcaster moment as I have heard in a while. I was actually kind of surprised that it came out of his mouth. And Edmonds, by the way, when he wants to be, he can be a very good, insightful analyst. I've heard it. But, dude, that was not good. Embarrassing. Didn't like that. I'm Chris Ranji. Hello. With you until 9 o'clock tonight. We still are going to talk some football with Eric Edholm. He'll come up later in the show after we are done with this hour at 7 o'clock. Mark Grody to talk some Bears with us. And the guy who's calling Cubs baseball tomorrow on the Marquee Network for Boog, he's filling in. Alex Cohen, who is the play-by-play voice for the Iowa Cubs, will join the show in the 8 o'clock hour. So the number is 312-644-6767. Juan in Chicago is with us on The Score. Hello, Juan.
Hey, what's going on, guys? How are you?
Yeah, doing great. All of us.
Good, good. I think, to be realistic, the Lions are still good. The Packers almost beat the 49ers in the playoffs. So, to be realistic, I'm happy with a wild card or even fighting for a wild card chance.
So, for the Bears, you're saying if they're... They don't necessarily have to be a playoff team. You just want them to be in the conversation at the end.
Just in the hunt. I want to see them in the hunt towards the end of the year.
Okay. Now, from people that you talk to, you've got friends who are Bears fans. Do they kind of feel the way you do, or do you feel like you're alone in that?
I think just with how the last couple of years have gone, I think everybody's still nervous. Everybody somehow thinks the shoe might fall off. Something horrible is going to go wrong. The way I see it, you have a number one pick. He's going to get treated like the number one pick. He might get a couple, you know, tough hits. The kid's got to play, essentially. There's really no other way to put it.
Juan, appreciate the phone call. You know, I think that is absolutely fair to look at it that way. That they don't really have to be a playoff team. Just kind of be there, you know? Look like a team that next season people will say, I don't want to play them. Maybe that's the realistic goal for the Bears, who ended up being 7-10 last year. And honestly, look, they had a couple of games where they lost with the stupidest of small, tiny details, and of course the tiny detail matters, but plays that weren't made at the very end. That team very easily could have been 9-7 or 9-8. You know, that very easily could have happened last year. That wouldn't have been outrageous if that happened. And, okay, so if you put it up against that, if you say, all right, the Bears last year very, very easily could have been 9-8. Well, why can't this team be one game better than that? In fact, they probably should be better than that. I've heard some people say things along those lines. I don't know that I necessarily agree with that. I think it's okay in year one to look like a real legitimate team that by next year, wow, look out, you don't want to play them. But I don't think it necessarily has to be that this year. I say that now, but then wait till the regular season starts and they put up a couple of wins early and they're over 500, you know, 6-7 games into the season, and then we'll be saying, okay, there's no excuse for not being a playoff team this year. And I'll tell you what, I reserve the right to change my mind on this. And I probably will. Let's visit with John on the Score. Good evening, John.
Hi, Mr. Ranji. I want to see the Bears get better this year. You know, get Caleb Williams some action and get cohesiveness with his wide receivers and everything. But I'm really looking forward to next year. And the reason I'm looking forward to next year is because I want them to take, I've said this for the last 5 years probably, but I want them to take the first pick in the draft and either get a defensive tackle or defensive tech three, technique center person. And then the second pick, I want one mean center so that Caleb's hands can be under his butt for the next 10 years.
Okay,
and
John.
That's what I want.
Yeah,
I want a mean one. Like all
I hear you, dude. Here's the thing. If the Caleb Williams thing works out and he's just and he's even, you know, at minimum, he's competent early on, you feel like the most important position on the field, you don't have to worry about that when the next draft rolls around and you can refocus your energy on the positions you're talking about, because that will be a thing to watch this season. It's going to be is the Bears defensive front enough and doing enough and putting enough pressure on the opposing quarterback that we don't have to run our secondary dry and kill them every day. And that is going to be very important. So if they don't have a strong defensive front, they're going to be looking in the draft next year. That will be a priority for them, depending on where they draft. But it would be nice to go into every draft knowing, well, quarterback solved. Don't have to worry about that. So let's just take care of everything else. Good thought, John. Appreciate it.
Why do you have to share the part about the hand in the
I don't know. I was just, I was going to keep going, but I also couldn't stop thinking about that.
No, that's all. I don't, you were talking, but all I thought about was the hand.
The guy, hands under his butt. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, that's maybe where, that's just where he's comfortable, and that's okay.
I'm fine with it. But yeah.
Yeah. It wouldn't have been the first thing I thought
of.
Yeah,
maybe blocking. Blocking is probably the thing
blocking is
most important to me.
Blocking. But you do want to be comfortable with the guy whose hands you put on.
No, it's a plus to be comfortable. It's definitely a plus. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. It's just not the
correct
first place I would go to.
That's correct. Scott in Arlington Heights, before we hit the break, is with us on the score. What's up, Scott?
Hey, Ronji. Good to be on with you. Listen, I have 2 points. One of my points is going to be very unpopular, but the first point I want to make is about the Cubs. I think that Council, I don't think, I know, and you can ask Alex Cohen when he comes on. I think that PCA needs to be in the leadoff spot. He is a bona fide leadoff hitter and has a much better opportunity to be an igniter for the Cubs than Nico Hoerner. And I know that Horner's played well in the last couple of weeks, but I think that that's one thing. My other point is back to Nico Hoerner. You know, from the second base, this is unpopular. I know he's a gold glover. He gives you very little slug, and there's no consideration to put anyone else at second base from Council. What's his name at third base? I don't know why it's slipping my mind, but
Morrell?
Edmund was talking about Morrell. Yeah. Morrell, all he does is play third base. It's not even a consideration to put him anywhere else like last year. And I know he's only batting 200, but I think you have to look at Hoerner. There's very little slug. If you compare him to other second basemen, Bryce Terang from Milwaukee, he is a much better all-around second baseman and a really good leadoff hitter for the Brewers. And
yeah.
What do you think about PCA in the leadoff spot?
Well, I think here's the thing, and I know you had more to get to, but we have to hit the break here so we can get to Mark Grody. But I think it's a bad idea right now. He doesn't get on base. You can't have a guy with an on-base percentage of 250 being your leadoff guy just because he's fast. That might be old school thinking, and that's the way it would have been. Oh, here's the fast guy, put him in the leadoff spot, but it doesn't really work now. I mean, he's barely hitting 200, and he doesn't get on base nearly enough. Hoerner, when he leads off, I mean, his OBP is not great, but it's better. It's better than PCA. So that's the guy you're going to go with, I think. I don't think they have currently really great options for the leadoff spot. Hoerner is probably your best bet right now. Appreciate the phone call. Let's talk some Bears. We continue the Bears discussion as we get ready for actual Bears training camp. Oh my God, it's happening. Mark Grody is next. Chris Ronji with you on the score.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Port Trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.